The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deek speaking.
Hello and welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson, and joining me, two guest Charlies, two men combining together to become one Charlie Clausen. You don't actually have to do anything Charlie Clausen related, but it's Nick and James from the Weekly Planet podcast, one of the most popular podcasts on the whole internet.
Potentially.
Yeah, right? I mean, you don't need facts on this podcast.
No, it doesn't matter. Okay. Yeah.
Welcome to you both. It's good to have
you. Thank you for having us. Great to be here. Yeah. I may so. For the listeners.
Oh, that's good too, actually,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. There's a podcast I listen to, and everybody's required to go, "This is the sound of my voice." And I feel that's too far. That's a bit authoritarian.
But do they say their own names before they say
no,
that?
No, they're introduced and they go, "This is the sound of my voice."
I mean, if you can't work out that the sound of the voice of the person speaking
yes, right.
is the sound of their voice, then you know what? Podcasts aren't for you.
No, that's right.
Stick to the written form would be my suggestion in your world. Is that like a politeness thing? Is that like a kind of a trigger? Is that what it's in? Is it in that space of like saying, hey, trigger warning, we're about to talk about something? Or I've heard that at some gigs, it's impolite to clap now at lectures or something.
Because oh, really?
It can be triggering to people so that they'll sort of do the, like, you know, the, really? The hands or whatever instead of clapping.
Have you had that happen to you?
I mean, I've had gigs where people certainly did not clap. So I'm assuming. I worked with an Auslan sign interpreter for the first time this year.
Right,
on stage.
Okay, yeah.
Mm. I'd wanted to do it for a long time, but Adam Hills, like, it was quite famous for it.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
sure,
he was
yeah.
like the first person
thinks
who did
it. Thinks he's so good, doesn't he?
Well, here's the thing. I already get confused for him a lot.
That's yes,
so
right,
I
yeah.
wasn't going to move in on his shit.
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I already felt like he had like one foot and he was doing some stuff about that. And then I got osteoarthritis in my hips and now we're both doing stuff about limping.
You don't want to be like, the discount Adam Hills is what you're saying.
Well, I just don't. Also, I don't want to be single white Hillsy.
yeah, right. You know
I,
mean? Exactly,
I don't want like
yeah.
Adam to think that I'm like moving in on his stuff.
That must be international people who think that of you, right? Does that happen in Australia as well?
Oh, it happens more in Australia.
Really?
Yeah. That's why I feel like every time I do something bad or if I'm in the headlines for some bad reason, which is normally how I make headlines, I always feel like I'm destroying Adam Hills' career.
Yep.
Whereas, like, I only get positive comments back the other way.
Oh,
so
right.
if they can feel, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Like, so there'd be people, like, who go up to him and go, "I hate that thing you did at the Logies," and he'd be like, "That's not me."
Yep.
Whereas I get, "Gee, I love Spicks and Specs. How's Alan?" And I go, "He's good because I know him, so I can say."
Just dandy. Wow.
Do people ever confuse the two of you? I know when Merrick and Rosso were on the radio, often people wouldn't know who was Merrick, who was sort of Rosso. And in fact, some people thought the show was called Merrick and Rosso.
That's very good. Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Well, a lot of people, we get a lot of emails that are, "Hey, Nick and Mason," because they think...
Yes.
That's our name.
That I'm Nick. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people were under the impression for a very long time that there was only one person on the show who was doing a voice of the other one. Like, it was a two-man conversation brought about by one man because James would never show his face in real life. So they're like, well, the second guy doesn't exist. So it's just... And I'm like, and that gives me a lot of credit that I can think on my feet and I can back and forth with two voices at the same time. So,
or it could have been all heavily scripted.
Well,
that's
it.
True,
exactly.
Yeah. But why would you script what we
do? Listening to it, you'd be like, well, yeah, no, nobody would write that.
Also, you've assumed you're the person doing it out of this, have you?
Yes, I have, yes.
I mean, surely wouldn't it be the person who has no identity who's trying to, like...
Maybe.
You know, it'd be the other way around if you're trying to keep it a secret.
Yeah,
that's
but
a
I
good
don't
point.
Want to be. I don't want to be the sidekick in my own life, though.
Yeah,
I feel like
I mean, I
that's
feel
a self-esteem
like,
issue.
To be honest, I kind of feel like that'd be a cool podcast, though. Like,
yeah,
if
right.
there were someone out there actually doing a podcast where it felt like it was a conversation between two people, but it was actually one person. Mm.
Andy
and
Daly could probably do that, someone like that, I feel like.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. We've finally sort of a podcast idea that isn't already being done.
Yeah.
Somebody better than us, get on it. Yeah.
Mm. So is that relationship, because of course overseas, like, you know, you guys have a huge following overseas for your podcast. So they're definitely people who, you know, like when they hear, say, Australian accents or whatever, might have trouble telling people apart. So I imagine that adds an extra element to it, right?
I think so.
I think that's the 95% of our appeal, if I'm honest with you. It's just the accent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These guys say things that we know, but in a different way.
We've had feedback that's just like, I don't know what you're talking about, but we love those accents.
Seems
and
fun.
I'm like, we'll take it. Yeah, you seem like you're having a good time is what we get most of the time. Not we understand any of
and
your
we,
references.
And we get a lot of, my girlfriend hates you and your voice. So like they'll listen to it in the house, but she can't stand it. So yeah, we get a lot of that. So
I mean, I think we get a bit of that as well. I think everybody probably gets a bit of that right as well. Uh-huh. Or my partner doesn't like it. And I'm like, you're living a different life listening to podcasts than I am.
Right.
Because it's like I listen with my headphones on while I'm going for a walk or I'm in the car. It's like it's my own space. Part of the reason I like podcasts and you start to feel very connected to the people of the podcast you like is because you have quite an intimate relationship with them.
Yes.
This idea that there are some people who are like, well, let's put on our podcast.
Yes,
let's sit down and listen to our radio serial
that
we both enjoy.
Speakers blaring.
It's family time. That's right.
Yeah, you're right. It's not really, it's not a communal experience, is it?
No.
Yeah.
It's communal in the sense that, I guess like, you know, people will listen to it one by one and then maybe if there's a live show, they all meet up and go, oh, it turns out we're real. Like all of us are real, but on a...
It just feels weird. It feels to me like podcasts are for people who don't have someone to talk to.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the point. That's why I love the LA Podcast Festival because you have like an entire room full of people who normally enjoy doing that thing by themselves, suddenly having to do it with a whole group of people.
Oh, absolutely,
so it kind of creates this dynamic of going, oh, no, I don't normally like other people.
Yes.
Well, that's how our podcast pretty much got together because we just had no one else to talk to about. Hey, can I talk to you about Spider-Man? Oh, no? Okay. Yeah, I guess we'll... All right.
How did it start? So talk us through the history of the podcast.
Well, a few years back... I started a YouTube channel in like 2011 and it's just to talk about movies and comics and TV shows. Was that loud enough?
No, it's beautiful. Okay. Oh, no, don't doubt yourself.
Okay.
That was me doing my regular check that it's still happening.
I do that. Yeah.
Here's a side note before we get into the origin of it. Have you ever lost an episode?
Oh, we've lost heaps.
Superpod.
Yeah, that's right.
2 weeks ago, we lost two episodes in 1 week.
Wow.
We lost an episode and then did a replacement episode.
Oh my goodness.
And lost them to two separate problems.
Oh no. See, we have it's admirable that you went let's go again, because we are our backup plan is just to tweet no episode this week.
We
so
lost
like,
it.
We don't
it
care.
Hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
It's happened for some like video stuff. But,
what we did was rectified the initial problem.
Yes.
But in some way created a whole new
fantastic.
Problem.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
So that was good.
Have you ever I don't know, any number of times I've heard Dave Anthony's like, they've lost they always lose the card. They lose the memory card. It just disappears somewhere. Have you ever gotten together with like a huge name and you're like, this is going to be great. And you've had a great time. And then you're like, oh, it's gone.
So there's two that spring to mind.
Oh, yes.
So the first one, it was recorded just in the room next to us where we are right now. Ronnie Chang a couple of years ago.
The great man. And Ronnie Chang.
Yeah, but before he was the great man.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Like just when he was on his way up to becoming the great man.
Yep.
He came over and we did a podcast together. He was not only hilarious, but he said so many nice things about me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and as his career has skyrocketed, I miss that podcast more and more every day. I was like...
What happened to it?
I don't know. Me not being good at technology.
All right, that'll do it.
And then the other one, the most famous one for us was... you mentioned Dave Anthony, and this is, I think, where his relationship with it not working also started. At the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, because Tofop and Walking the Room, his old podcast, had kind of had a relationship with each other. And so we did this show together, Superpod, and it was this legendary night where it all just went amazing. And we all just walked off stage going, well, that's just the greatest thing we've ever been involved in. And somewhere between the Melbourne Comedy Festival recording it and them handing that card to us. I don't know where it went, but it didn't go to us.
I did like Charlie's tribute though at your last live gig with the broken
Well, it's 5 years now, like since that night, but people still remember remember it. We get tweets every year like RIP Superpod. But but the thing about it was, of course, people were illegally recording it.
So absolutely,
there,
yeah.
So there is on the internet a patch together because no one had the full audio right, from yeah. it. But enough people got together and they've patched together versions from their phones. So at yep. different times, it goes from being kind of louder to not as yeah. loud or whatever. But there is a version somewhere on the dark web.
Yeah. It's like the Lost Doctor Who episodes. Yeah.
What I like about that is, on the one hand, like a community of people who all love this were like, let's all contact each other and figure it out and put it all together. But also, they're all a bunch of paranoid lunatics who are just like, let's. I got to record everything in my life. I've got to.
Oh, well, because it was a thing that was meant to come out as a podcast.
Yeah, right. So
the idea that you're like, it's like someone taking a photo at the Olympics, like yeah, the right. athletes.
Yeah,
they're
right.
taking a photo, you know, yeah. and it's like, oh yeah, no, there'll be available footage of this.
Yeah,
that's it.
It's fine. It's fine. You don't need to snap this one on your Samsung,
that's right,
Tiger.
Yeah.
It's all right, you're saying. Put the phone away, Tiger. You'll be fine. There'll be some photos of this.
Yeah.
But it turns out they were right.
Yeah, well,
that's so true, they yeah. were the ones who were actually right. So now at all our live gigs, you see people at the start
yeah, right.
putting out their recording equipment. People are bringing Zooms.
Yeah, right.
They're setting up their own mics.
Yeah, like they're taping mics
down. I'm
sure
I saw
yeah.
someone put something on stage at one point.
It would have been somebody not trusting the fact that we would actually get it out. So we're terrible at technology.
That's not your fault though, that one, to be fair.
Well,
it seems like some sort of Ocean's 11 style heist. Like there was a switchover at some point. They recorded it. They took the memory card out, and then there was a palming of the real one, and they gave you a fake one, maybe. So that the real thing was out there.
Like, well, there is actually one of our favorite episodes we ever did of Tofop was one called I think it might be Death of Superpod.
Oh yes,
and it's recorded because here's the thing: I found out, and Charlie and Greg, who is the other one, Greg Barron,
yep.
Who was also on that podcast, we all found out at the same time that it had been lost.
Yes.
But Dave didn't know yet.
Oh.
Because Dave was off doing another gig.
Yeah, great.
So we decided we needed to do a live podcast about it. So we lured Dave
to my
apartment going, we need to tell you something.
Yeah.
And when he got there, we'd set up the microphones and we just started recording and broke him the news like live on air. So people can actually hear.
He seems like a man who would take that well.
Oh, yeah. If you know anything about Dave Anthony, it went great. So you don't have those moments?
Oh yeah, we lose stuff often. I'll look at the card and go, shit, we've got 5 minutes left, or it'll stop recording. And I know you got the same Zoom as me. It doesn't stop the audio when it's we've lost like minutes, but we've never lost like a whole thing yet. But we will. It's inevitable. Everybody does.
Yeah.
We've done 190 odd or whatever it is.
And all of James's audio equipment and like computer stuff has been reinforced because we know he's just going to start throwing things. He's not a He's not a happy man when it comes to technology. But how do we kick this off? How do we get started?
So I started a YouTube channel. Funnily enough, the reason I kind of started as well was I did a week's work experience on the Gruen transfer.
Now I heard you tell this story,
which was,
and I wanted to get to the like I needed more information.
So you did hear that? Oh, you
it piqued my interest.
Okay, yeah.
And I was just like, all right, well let's hear this story. So how long ago was this?
That was 2010. And that was off the back of, I'd done some videos and some people from the ABC had seen them. And they're like, hey, come in and do it. Well, I asked, I said, hey, I'd love to come in and have a look. And they invited me for the week and I came out to Sydney. And everybody was nice and it was great. And I remember meeting you and you were really nice, which was really surprising. You introduced yourself. I'm like, oh, I didn't think anybody would do that, which was...
I mean, the first thought I had when I heard you discuss the fact that you work on the show was, fuck, I hope I was nice.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, literally the first thought I had was like, I mean, I'm pretty nice to people generally, but you know. Yeah,
anytime you speak to somebody, you go, oh, it's lovely to meet you. And somebody goes, oh, we've met before. And you're like, oh, is this going to go? I don't know.
Yeah. And look, there was no way you would remember that. Cause I know they get in a lot of people. And one of the things I remember they told me, was like, oh, we had a guy last week and he was great. And everyone loved him and he killed it and whatever. And I'm like, I'm not that guy. I'm not like I don't come in and kind of rock the boat or in a good way or a bad way. I was just there to kind of like, just kind of do the work. And one of the things they had me do, which I kind of loved, was go through every political ad, Australian political ad ever. Cause it was around the time of the Gruen
Nation.
Yeah. So I watched literally every ad and categorized it and it just fucking twisted my mind into a knot. But what I got out of it at the end was like, I can't do, I'm too old to start here getting coffees and work my way up to maybe get a writing gig to then maybe get a show in 10 years. So I just kind of walked away from it like it was good, but I can't, I'm just not for this.
I think that's really important to know what you're not for.
Right, yeah.
Like, I mean, I find people get stuck in things for so long because it's close enough to what it is that they want to do that they're like, okay, well, this ticks off, like, I mean, I trained as a journalist. That was my degree, right? Mm. And it would have ticked off, like, maybe 5 or 6 out of the 10 things that would make me happy.
Yeah,
you know, because there'd be enough of that job that is similar to what I like about this job.
For sure,
that I'd be probably happy enough and I could convince myself to go, no. Like, you know.
Yeah, right.
Maybe this is as happy as you're meant to be. Maybe I should be grateful that I'm like 5 out of 6 things happy. I bet there's people who are like 2 or 1 things out of, like, that's, you know, at their job or their chosen profession.
Most of my friends are like that. Right? Yeah, they're like, no, I hate it, but I do it, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there is that element that I think sometimes people, the problem isn't that you really hate something, because that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, if you really hate it, you're eventually going to stop doing it.
And you're going to figure out ways to, you know, steal stationery and et cetera, you know.
Or you can not care about it.
Yeah, right.
Like, and there's nothing wrong with having for a period of time in your life, particularly if you're concentrating on something else, a job that you don't care about.
Yeah, right.
A job that you can just go and do and you don't have to take home with you. You don't worry about the people at work. Like, you know, the next day, you don't worry. It's literally a transactional thing. You go in, you do it, and you're done because you have other things in your life.
Yeah.
And I think people get stuck in the 6 out of 10s.
Yeah,
the bit where you're like, this is mostly okay.
Yeah.
This for what I like to do, you know, this is...
It's in the ballpark.
This is in the ballpark.
Yeah.
It's not actually my dream.
Yeah, yeah.
But would I risk a 10 out of 10, like, to get rid of... If I have to get rid of my 6 out of 10? And I feel like that... Like, that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
That's what you recognize in that moment.
And I was also teaching at the time, and I also loved teaching, and I still...
Which I imagine has, like, a lot of the things that you like.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm like, I'm not going to move to Sydney and... And like I said, when I was talking to Claire about it, there was no opportunity for me to even do that. Like, I didn't push it. The secretary, whose name I can't remember, was really nice and said, you should go talk to Andrew. And because the last guy came and he went in and said, I want to be the next Andrew Denton. And I'm like, I don't want to bother Andrew Denton. He's doing his own thing. I'm just some fucking guy who's here for 1 week. So I didn't approach him. I just kind of went, oh, this was great. I had a really good time. Everyone was super nice. I learned some stuff about editing and how the show was put together. I saw the live taping and whatever, but I just kind of left it at that. And I didn't...
As the producer of the show now, and I have been for a very long time, here's what I'm going to say to you. Because I now have the role that Andrew had back then.
Mm.
No, you are right. I'm more in favor of you.
Okay.
I don't need the intern coming in and telling me he's going to be the next me.
Right, yeah.
I'd like to be the next me for a while longer, mate. I don't want you coming along. Upstart, you've been here 1 week getting coffees and now you want to be me.
Oh, I've looked at a whole bunch of ads.
And then suddenly I'm me, mate. I like this guy who didn't bother me and let me do my work.
Well, that's what I figured. And even knowing that nothing would come of it, I'm like, I'd rather just kind of not hassle anybody and just do the work, because that's kind of how I've always been. Just even if you're shit at your job, just do it and shut up.
Well, like, you know where you know that other guy, the guy who was there the week before you.
Yeah,
I don't know who that was, but here's what I can tell you for sure: he's not Andrew Dent. There's not a new Andrew Denton out there, so
that's a good
he was
point,
wrong.
Yeah.
So,
but also, I didn't grow up in the era of Andrew Denton.
Right.
I can't be Andrew Denton. I wasn't at the ABC in the 80s and kind of doing the forefront of Australian comedy. It doesn't exist anymore.
Well, that era doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But also, Andrew, you're absolutely right.
Mm.
It's people my generation who, well, I mean, I do what I do because literally I wanted to be the next Andrew Denton.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
in and you told
face,
him
Andrew.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's how I got the job. So, anyway.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to me then how this starts out of that.
Yeah. Well, I love movies. And Mason and I...
Hey, quick question before you get into that.
Go for it.
Do you have any other funny stories about going up to Sydney and turning
up
there?
Look
any,
at this. I like
any,
this. This is
any,
like...
Any funny little observations
that,
about...
That week?
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like there must be one,
but
right?
Probably. Which,
do you want to give him some clues?
Give me some hints.
look, you encountered a British man.
Oh, no, I heard a Ben Elton story.
Oh, right,
but
okay.
I didn't,
you weren't there for it. Okay, that's all right.
A lady told me a really hilarious story about Ben Elton coming in and not being recognised by the lady on the desk and he flipped out. That was the, which was apparently...
I mean, there was a time when that would have been an appropriate reaction, but that time had passed.
Right, yeah. And she was like, apparently the girl on the desk was like 19. She doesn't know the guy who wrote Blackadder. Like, why would she? Yes.
No. She really wouldn't.
Yeah.
She wouldn't even know Andrew Denton to confuse them.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because he apparently just expected to kind of waltz in and go up, and because they're great mates, apparently. Yeah. I don't know. And that apparently didn't handle that well.
Apparently, so. Ben Elton. I mean, I like the world that Ben Elton has lived in up until that point, though, where apparently he can just go wherever he wants.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
I mean, that's what that says to me, because he lives in Perth, and I feel like, I guess Ben Elton is and will forever be a big enough celebrity that in Perth, he probably never, like, people go, right. Go wherever you want, Ben Elton.
He did that show on Channel 9. Can't remember the name of it.
Live from Planet
Earth. Exactly. It was around that. It would have been around that time, actually.
Yeah, see, that's the difference in eras and generation. Mm. See, that's what that poor girl at reception, she remembers the 3 or 4 episodes of Live from Planet Earth.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
And she does not remember, Blackadder and the Young Ones and Stark and the golden age of Ben Elton before he was writing musicals with Queen. There was a time.
That's exactly it.
So you've always loved movies.
Always loved movies. So I left it for a while.
I love this because I don't have to move this forward at all. Yeah, you could just...
just nudge me along. But I started doing weekly movie news videos just to kind of cut my teeth, and I need to be making something otherwise, even if it's no good. But I need to be kind of always doing something because I've found that I just kind of go crazy, and you might be the same, but my mind needs to be, even if it's bad, I just need to be making writing or doing something.
I don't understand that at all. I'm a massive celebrity with a TV show and a stand-up career, and I have 4 free podcasts on the internet. No idea.
Different ballpark.
No idea what you're talking about, mate. Don't understand it at all.
And I just did that independently of teaching. But I didn't put my face on it because I thought, if I'm going to do this, I want to swear a bit or whatever and say whatever I want. I don't want them to cross over.
Right.
So I just kind of ground away at that for a few years. And then I thought, hey, I've got a pretty big enough following. It might have been 10,000 subscribers. Mason and I for years have been talking about doing a podcast since the mid-2000s.
Also, just for the record, of all the things that teachers are doing secretly on the internet, I feel like we finally found one that we can be happy about.
That's it, right? Exactly.
So that's good news at least. So, yes, you decided podcasts.
Yeah. And so when I, because I went away overseas in between then, but I still kind of kept it up. Claire and I lived in...
Were you listening to other podcasts?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it was?
Like,
what were you listening to?
I was on it pretty early. Ricky Gervais. I was in and out of TOEFOP. I did...
We were also, so...
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
Can't take that.
Yeah. What else is there? The Komodo Mayo on the BBC, the movie one.
Maybe Smodcast? We were just talking about Smodcast.
Smodcast I was well into that. So those are the kind of things that kind of guided us. And we were like, we could probably do this. And I think we had the benefit of, because I had the YouTube channel, we recorded the podcast. I took a segment, put pictures to it and put it up online. And then I figured, hey, people will see that and then they'll go to the podcast. And that's how we've grown. It's got to the point now where the podcast is bigger than the YouTube, which is great because YouTube's a hellhole that could collapse at any second.
So it's interesting that you say that, because there's one thing about YouTube, because I, for whatever reason, because I'm older and, I always feel like when it comes to new technologies and new sort of spaces and whatever, that I'm in some of them.
Yeah.
And I probably, for someone my age, I've had a decent enough crack at kind of staying relevant enough.
Absolutely.
But I'm not in all of them.
Right, yeah.
And some
you
of them are just too hard and I just whatever for my skills, right? I always feel like I'm one of those people in an old school Western where the train's taking off and they're the one who has a run along and there's someone out the back.
Yeah.
And as long as I just keep going like this, I still might catch that train, but it feels like it's getting further and further away.
But people also, you have the benefit, people take clips of funny things that you've done and upload them, I'd imagine, which is pretty
yeah,
great.
But I always thought it might be to my benefit if I could have some curation and arrangement of that.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh. Definitely.
But the thing that scares me about YouTube is, here's the thing. I understand that, when you do things like this, that people have various opinions about, whether it's good or not.
Well,
and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
This is not it's not a surprise to me. I never feel like one of those reality winners who suddenly is famous overnight and goes, hang on, I thought everyone loved me.
Yeah,
turns
right.
Turns out not everyone does. I'm aware. Yeah. I'm aware that heaps of people don't like me. So I normally try to avoid places where that will be
and YouTube is very they're unforgiving.
How good something is or how wonderful something is. It just feels to me like YouTube, like Twitter, you can avoid the comments. Facebook, you can avoid the comments. I can post something and then never again look at that post again and never see any of the comments. But on a YouTube channel, particularly for you who was kind of building a relationship with the great bits of your audience, how did you do that while still stepping around the landmines that YouTube throws in your way.
I think being a teacher helped because I know how to antagonize a kid and I know how to not. You know what I mean? So I don't engage with anybody who's negative. I don't block anybody because blocking, they know when they're blocked and they're like, I fucking got him.
Yeah, that's weird.
He affected me. So I mute, but I only mute if someone's like really sexist, really racist, you know, says something like that. Otherwise, I just kind of let things play out. So I think it's about... for us creating an environment where, because the ethos of our podcast is also, we talk about nerd stuff and movies, but you don't have to be a super fan of anything. You can just kind of like stuff at whatever level you want to like it at. Because we find there's a lot of nerd podcasts, which are, if you don't like Doctor Who this much, you should kill yourself. You know what I mean? So I think we've tried to build that.
It feels a little harsh.
Unless
you are a Time Lord and can regenerate.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise.
Yeah. But there are people like that. We get those people who breeze in and out because we're too kind of casual for them for that. But I think...
Yeah, it's a lot of like, you didn't know that this character was in this episode of this show. You should die in a fire. Like, it's kind of like there's a very rapid escalation, I find a lot.
Oh, we talk about comics all the time on the show. And like early on, before those sort of people realized it was not the podcast for them.
Yes.
Because... neither of us are experts.
Sure, yeah.
And most of the time when we talk about comics, it ends up us just like inventing, like it's like a fan fiction improv game. Like, what if Batman did this? That'd be awesome, right?
Yeah, right.
But I love that. And a lot of people do though, which is, so you've obviously found your audience through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. But you know, it's interesting to me in YouTube though, because YouTube always feels like, does not matter what the video is, four comments down, someone's going to be a racist.
100%.
Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. And look, I get so many that I can't read everything. And I don't, because I just spend all day reading comments and replying to people. But I don't... the other thing is, I'm old enough, or I started old enough, or I don't care.
Right.
Well, I mean, you do care. Of course you care on a level. You're like, if it was all negative, that would be bad. I'd realize that I was doing something wrong at least. But it's positive enough where I'm okay with it, you know? And valid criticisms, we get those as well, which is
never.
Fine. Never.
Never. It's all...
but a lot of criticism.
Completely invalid criticism.
That's right.
It, like, measured.
In my opinion, they should all die in a fire. All of those people.
Measured... I mean, for years, pretty much the catchphrase of Tofop was, fuck you, it's a free podcast.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly, well,
That's the other thing.
Here's
your
$0 back for not enjoying this.
Yeah. And that's how we've approached like advertising and things like that, where we're just two guys. Mason still works full time. You know, you do like this on the side. You know, like we don't mind taking on this stuff because we need to live. We're just people, you know. We just happen to have a podcast that some people listen to.
Okay, but how did you guys... so tell us your origin story then. How did you guys know each other before this podcast?
We met at a Christian youth group.
Hang on, shut up. Are you serious?
Yeah, that's right.
Is this going to be like Aslan and I'm going to realize that like your whole podcast has been about Jesus?
That's exactly right. That's right.
We got you.
No wonder you wanted everyone to be nice to
that's
each other.
That's right.
Damn it.
That's right.
Bloody sneaky.
The podcast is just about me and him and our 12 friends. Really cool friends.
But we're not like
superheroes, if you will.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to tell you now about the world's coolest superhero, guys.
I think...
Turn a chair backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
But we're not... religious. I mean, we were raised
Catholic. It wasn't a very religious youth group. It was like some sing-alongs and some like...
how old are you at this age?
15? Yeah, 16? Yeah. Something like that? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Is this like a parents like, please don't let our kids be having sex and smoking youth group?
Yeah,
or
yes,
did,
but
was there
it,
still
but
stuff
it,
like that that happened
at
youth group?
It was that.
Yeah, it was exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's almost like if you gather those kids that age together in any environment.
And you say, don't do drugs and have sex. And they're like, what are drugs and sex? I should do some research. Oh.
Sounds interesting. Yeah.
Didn't hear the first bit, but I heard drugs and sex.
Yeah.
All right. So you're 15 years old. You meet, were your friends immediately? What did you bond over? What was the...
That's a good question. Well, Mason's a couple years older than me, so he was friends with my brother initially.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
But then
and that guy was a bit of a lame-o. So
at youth group, you were like hanging out with the younger kids.
Yeah. Oh, no, this paints me in a very bad light. Look, I just wanted to share a chocolate milk with him, and, you know.
But yeah, because we ended up going to uni together as well.
That's right.
Okay. So did you go to the same school? No,
we didn't.
Okay.
No, yeah.
So but you went to the same university.
Same
which
uni.
Which uni did you go to?
La Trobe.
La Trobe University. Mm. Okay, nice one.
Mm. Yeah.
I do a few things at La Trobe University when I was starting out comedy, because I reckon Tim Ross and Corinne Grant might have both gone to
Yeah, okay, they used to have
a comedy night, didn't they?
They used to have a Tuesday daytime comedy night.
That's right.
It was like 1 o'clock, I think.
Yeah.
And I saw Sarah Kendall there once, award-winning comedian Sarah Kendall.
Was it in a lecture theatre, this one, or was it like in a kind of bar sort of scenario?
It was in a tiny little, like a cinema setup. It was like maybe a 30-seat cinema kind of situation. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely did one that was in a lecture hall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you would have been big enough then.
Enough that I could fill a lecture hall.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But it's such a weird gig because everyone's got those little tables.
Exactly.
So it's just like...
Yeah. So did you do nighttime or did you do daytime?
No, it was daytime though.
Oh, yeah, the perfect time for stand-up comedy
is. I think so.
Yeah.
We used to do that. Like, we'd go to the pub, go a beer and go, oh, so-and-so's on. We'll just bloody walk down and,
Well, my favourite thing about that though was always that there was a real combination of that they'd never really told. So there would be some people who would be really into the idea that the gig was on, but there'd be some people just trying to do their homework.
Yeah, right. Exactly,
They're in the cafeteria at lunchtime and they're trying to cram for some exam or
something.
It's
like when stand-up comedy...
Like, so, hey, Michael Klim, his name is Milk, spelled backwards.
It's like when a comedy gig starts at a pub in the bistro and people are just like, I was here for a chicken parma, and I'm not here for anything else. Why are you?
Are you hearing the nearby ice cream truck go through the neighborhood playing Green Sleeves?
Wow. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've heard an ice cream truck. That's
this one. Shady. I mean, this must be, I guess, like from walking distance from my house, is like there's a kind of Sydney Harbour bit where like a jetty, like a fucking ferry comes in.
Yeah,
right?
Sure, right.
And I guess it's a bit of a touristy thing. So I guess that's where the kids, your ice cream business. But that guy, he's daily. He comes through daily.
Oh, really?
Huh. And it's winter.
Yeah.
Like, he's still obviously doing some pretty good business.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He 10 out of 10 loves his job. I guess that's probably what it is.
Yeah, I feel like maybe there's something else going on now that I think about it.
Right, yeah.
I feel like this might be the sort of suburb where that guy in a few years might get, like, busted with a gram of ice in the back.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Last time I went to an ice cream van, I was like, I'll have a gelato. He's like, here, $11. And I'm like, he's like, there's only rainbow. Like, I don't want rainbow gelato for $11.
No, you want a bloody chocolate dipped ice cream, right?
Just one flavor's fine. Anyway.
Are you because these are the sort of details I actually like, Meso.
Yes.
Are you an ice cream truck sort of guy? I don't do ice cream trucks anymore because I'm vegetarian. And ice cream truck ice cream is not vegetarian. I don't even know if that's true anymore.
Right.
But you know when you hear something...
Who do you believe these days? There's too much information.
It's probably, yes, that sounds right. Yeah. I won't have those anymore.
It's probably barely even food at this point. But I love an ice cream truck. I love a sausage sizzle. I will go from... I'll have a full lunch, and if I see a sausage sizzle on the way back, get two or three sausages, four sausages, half a dozen sausages.
That's too many.
I'm a big fan. No, I love it. It's so good. But ice cream truck. Oh, bang up for it.
Okay, so sausage sizzle.
Yes.
If you're getting sausages.
Yes.
Like, are you just like sausage and bread, or is there like onions, or like what's your, because again, they're not really catering for the vegetarian mostly at these things.
No, I'm sausage, bread, tomato sauce. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
Straight up,
yeah. That's right. This
and
is
if you weren't
way.
Born here, go back to where you came
from. If you could, if you wouldn't mind.
Finally somebody said it.
All right, so...
If it's halal, I'm walking away.
Yeah.
That's what's happening.
We're going to have a pause.
Sure. Yeah.
All right, we're back. We had a halftime break because that's what we do here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We have a little halftime break.
We should do that. We don't do that.
Do you always go straight through?
Sometimes I will call for Uber Eats in the middle of the show, and that's very upsetting for James. Show, yeah.
What has been your experience with Uber Eats? Is it a positive experience?
Yes, completely. I've yet to have a dud, but why do you ask?
No, well, I mean, here's the thing. Like, I hear mixed reports about things, and when I say I hear mixed reports, I just see random tweets and stuff.
Oh,
and
sure.
That's everybody's opinion.
For a long time, I just moved house, and prior to that, Uber Eats was one, like, you'd start the Uber Eats app, and there was a map, and it would be one street away from where I lived. Like, it was just like, we'll be in your area soon. Never was. So every day I would contemplate just standing on the street, like getting into the map area and just being like, please send me Uber Eats if you could. I just want to experience it once in my life.
So is the idea with Uber Eats, it's like regular delivery, but it's just Uber bringing it. Is that what it is?
Sometimes on a bike?
Yeah, it's restaurants that ordinarily wouldn't deliver. Like, they don't have a delivery van or whatever, but they employ the Uber guys, the drivers, to deliver for them. Yeah. Mm.
Okay, so essentially we're going, now we're not going to have proper delivery.
Yeah, right.
But if you're willing for some random stranger to drive your pizza there.
Exactly,
I guess that's okay.
It's fine.
It's kind of smart. Like, that cut a lot of costs, I'd imagine.
What sort of foods do you order, though? Because this is my thing about, like, you know, getting takeaway, I always think it's best to get it yourself, even pizza, because, like, there's a perfect time to eat pizza, which often is after the
window.
I think
you're probably right. Yeah, like maybe a fried chicken. I've ordered a spaghetti bolognese. The waffles, honestly, were a bad choice.
You got them on air.
They were very cold when I got there.
Good. They looked good. Because he arrived on a push bike. Like, of course they're cold.
That's true.
Did you get a guy on a push bike to bring me waffles, please? You know, how they're meant to be served.
That's right, yeah. So that's the thing. You roll the dice because sometimes it's a car and sometimes it's a bike. And
You don't know, do you?
Sometimes you're supposed to know in advance, but sometimes they'll say they're a car driver and they arrive on a bike or whatever. Right. And then it's just...
I left the car down the corner.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
The waffles needed some air.
Or just making noise out the front of your apartment.
Yeah. But I'm just a sort of notorious garbage scow and I'll basically eat anything. Somebody said the other day, if you want to stop drinking Coke, you know, Coke is bad for you and it'll make you sick and ruin your life. What you should do is just leave one out and you should wait for it to get warm and flat and then you should drink it and you'll be like, oh no, that's the worst, you know. And I have done that repeatedly and I love it. So
yeah, I mean, warm Coke's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than heaps of other things.
I agree.
That would be a thing if someone was like, I love milk.
Yeah, right.
I drink milk all the time. And someone said, well, you know what you should do?
Yeah. Wait until it's curdled and then eat it with a spoon.
But also, that's not an argument. Mm. Wait until something's spoiled and then see if you enjoy it. It's not an argument.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You should see this movie before they put the special effects in.
You'll hate it.
You eat a lot of pizza, but you wouldn't eat it if it had broken glass in it. Right. Just test it out. Yeah. Well, maybe I won't.
I'll just eat around the glass. Yeah. I reckon I would if it was good enough pizza.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Right.
I'm just not going to eat the glass bits. What's your eating? Are you a healthy eater, James?
I probably drink too much. Actually, we've cut down a lot. I've cut down a lot since having a kid just because I can't survive. I can't be hungover all the time. I used to do a lot of the shows hungover. But I try to look after myself. Also, I'm conscious that I'm getting older. So I'm like, shit, I'm going to stay fit because if I don't, I'll never get fit again.
Right.
I'll die. So,
I mean, that is actually good thinking. You're absolutely pretty much right. Or you'll get fit at a point where fitness doesn't fit your body anymore and you will look really weird.
Yeah, that's right.
It's fine to get really fit at like 50 if you are still kind of fit at 45.
Yes, that's right.
But like if you have like been not fit from 30 to 45.
Too much loose skin.
What's happening now is a nightmare. Yeah.
Yeah. My ethos has always been... And
you've got abs and a hunchback. That's a weird combo. Yeah.
It's always been, I want to be fast enough where if I'm being chased by a pack of dogs, I can jump a fence. That's my level. So if I can do that, I'm happy. I don't have to be the fittest guy in the world or the strongest or the fastest. I just want to be able to get over a fence if I have to.
I'd just be grateful it was a pack of dogs and it'd be over quickly. Because if it was one dog, it'd still kill me.
Yeah, forever,
but like at least a pack, it'd be quick.
Yeah. Right?
That's a blessing to me when I see a pack of dogs flying towards me.
It's all over.
At least it'll be quick. Sweet, merciful Jesus. Eating wise, because we had breakfast one morning and I noticed that you went for quite a healthy, even though we're at a cafe, you went for like a healthy breakfast.
I think also because I'd already eaten that morning, but I'm kind of sick of like eggs on toast, eggs and bacon, smashed avocado. It's all the same kind of thing. And I'm kind of like, I'm just sick of this kind of breakfast.
It's true.
Food.
It's like, you know, when avocado is in everything at the start, because I love avocado.
Yeah.
But in the same way as I love comic book movies.
Mm.
But then there's just a point where you're like, oh, well.
There's a lot.
I mean, Iron Man doesn't need to be in everything.
Yep.
It's
fine, guys. I can actually have this without the avocado.
Mm. Yeah. That's exactly it, yeah. But no, that's why. Like, I wouldn't say I'm crazy health conscious, but I am Like, I eat meat, I drink, you know.
What's your favorite food? I'd like to ask people
like about lasagna.
Food.
That's pretty good.
Lasagna?
Yeah, I don't mind lasagna.
Look at you,
yeah.
Garfield. So, lasagna is an interesting choice, though, I think, because lasagna feels to me like, I don't know. Like, is that your final? Okay, I'll rephrase it. It's your final meal. Oh. Like, so you're in some situation where they're like, you know, this is the last meal you'll ever have. What's the last meal you would
have? I do love like a chicken schnitzel, like a crumb schnitzel with gravy and chips.
You're a simple man with simple pleasures. No, that's what I'm getting a lot from you.
Fancy-ish food, but a lot of the time, a lot of places just fuck it up. If you go to a pub, just get the
probably mess up your final meal is the prison. No, I was going to say the prison kitchen. So if you're ordering something too fancy. Then,
well, that's right. Exactly. I'm not going to get a pulled pork slider or whatever.
Well, I mean, I always assumed it would be, again, an Uber Eats style situation. They would prepare the last meal off-site.
Yeah, right.
I didn't really imagine down at the kitchen where they're normally slopping out their gruel and peas and stuff like that. But every now and again, if there's an execution, it's like a MasterChef day. He wants a croquembouche. This is brilliant. Meso, final meal.
Maybe a pulled pork something. Oh, you know what? Maybe a Reuben sandwich.
So I see that a lot because that's quite popular at the moment, the Reuben sandwiches. America big Reuben. Here seems to be like there's a Reuben renaissance. Is that,
I think you're absolutely right. That my grandma, used to make a great corned beef. So I think I'm like, finally it's back kind of thing. So it's been rebooted.
Yes,
but
it has.
Sexier.
It is sexy, isn't it? Yeah.
A nice so tell bread. Me, so what is in a Reuben again? As a Reuben is
corned beef and it is Russian dressing and it's Swiss cheese and it's sauerkraut, but I'm not a sauerkraut guy because it's a disgusting wet mush. So that's out.
Okay. Yeah. So you're not even really into your traditional
Reuben. So my last meal, I'd have to be like, excuse me, can I get the Reuben? But if you wouldn't mind.
No sauerkraut.
I am going to be dead after this. So if you could take the sauerkraut.
Look, sauerkraut on the side.
Yeah, I'm just on just the case, side.
And then I'll just leave it. Just I don't want
to. Oh, but maybe I want to experience it right at the end. I'm like, well, I've never had sauerkraut and I'm going to be electrocuted in
or
a second.
Or maybe I have something that will actually make me look forward to my impending death.
That's right. Yeah. I don't like the texture. Okay, flip the switch.
You don't want to die with a bad taste.
No, you don't. It's gross.
Dream scenario to die. This is another one I like to know. Like, what would be your, like, you know, do you want it to be quick? Do you want it to be heroic? Do you want it to be, like, old age? Like, what's the kind of dream death scenario, do you think?
I was just going to combine the two and maybe heroic and old age. Okay. So like you know, an octogenarian, but I die in a gunfight or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, yeah.
I've always said that.
But with
who?
Like, with what's the gun? Like, what? As in, like, just, in my mind, you're in the gunfight. Is it just random?
Oh, I'm in I'm partaking in the gunfight.
Yeah, so you haven't just been accidentally
killed. No, I don't. I'm not.
As
I'm
an
not,
old person.
No, I'm not copping a stray. Like, that's it. That
this
would
is
be embarrassing.
Pistols at noon kind of situation.
I'm in some sort of anti-terror operation. You know how some people have dreams of, like, you know, they go to see a band and somebody's like, you know, as a kid, and they're like, oh, the lead singer's sick. Does anyone know all the lyrics? And they get up there and they're like, you know, and they're the hero. I feel like maybe like an ATF agent drops his gun and I'm like, now's my time to shine.
That's right.
Here we go.
Because people don't know about your background.
I'm going to take my teeth out and I'm going to get in there. And
finally, the moment I've been training for all my life.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly right. Yeah.
As you just say to somebody in a quick aside, it's funny, I talked about this on a podcast.
That's right. I'm qualified, right? Here we go.
Yeah. Normally, as an old person, when someone in a terror operation dropped a gun, you would have walked by, but you're like, hang on.
Yeah.
This reminds me of something.
Yeah.
All right.
This will put a nice button on it, you know? It'll just.
Ideal situation to die.
Well, actually, now you mentioned gunfight, and I'd said this before. I want to die in something like a gunfight so people remember that particular moment. They don't remember anything about me, but they're like, remember James? Who? The guy who died in that fucking gunfight. Oh my God, that was insane. Like something like that. Doesn't have to be a gunfight, maybe like a parachuting accident, something weird where people are like, yeah, shit, what was that?
Yeah.
So anything like
maybe
that.
Maybe like a locked room mystery.
Right.
Like maybe somebody opens they unlock the door and you're there and they're like, I don't understand. There's a puddle of water.
The window's closed.
Exactly right.
Yeah. I actually thought at the start when you were talking about that, you were talking about those escape rooms.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And, like, they just go up a level.
Yeah,
and
right.
It turns out you couldn't work out the clues and they just left you to die. Or like you were in it and you were taking too long and the business, because I imagine they're all pretty shonky, shut down while you were still in the escape room and they all like went.
Yeah.
And then you're just like trapped in there, never like, to escape.
Yeah. Well, we're bankrupt. Better concrete up the door. So no one gets our stuff.
Do you have a dream scenario? Dogs, maybe, but is there something else?
No, I've often thought, like, well, until recently, I was always like, I thought it would be on an aeroplane. I was like, and often if an aeroplane, when other people get like freaked out by the, I know you're not.
I'm not a flyer. No.
Not a flyer.
Yeah.
Sometimes when other people get freaked out by turbulence, I'd be like, oh, good. I have such a busy week next week.
Right.
Really getting a lot off my plate, to be honest, to tell you how quickly and memorable.
Oh, amazing.
Because
it would be Will Anderson and 150 passengers. That would be the headline.
Well, no, because I've been on other planes where, like, sometimes you look and you go, oh, it wouldn't be.
Oh,
like,
right.
You know, when you're suddenly on a plane, you're like, oh,
Mark
man.
Mark Holden?
Yeah, exactly. I'm only going to get a mention in the second paragraph. Yeah,
I reckon maybe an AFL team. If an AFL team went down, you'd be... Second paragraph.
No, definitely second to an AFL. Yeah, anytime I'm on with a sporting team, I immediately storm off the plane. I'm just like, no way.
No,
I will not make the top headline.
That's right.
On this flight. I would like to think that I would die in some way that was very poetic to my life. That's what I would like. So I guess maybe like on stage is always good for a comedian. Yeah. Like literally die on stage, you know? It has happened before.
Yeah, really. I can't remember his name, but there was an American comic who his bit, like he would do an hour long show and there would be an interval and his bit on stage he would pretend to die on stage and then everybody would leave.
Yeah.
And then they would come back and he'd spring back to life and then So
he would lie there the entire
exhibition. And everybody would like, and everybody knew that, and all the stage hand and the manager knew that. And so they were like, "All right, just let him go." And then everybody filed out and then everybody filed back in. And he just didn't get it back up again.
Did he hit his head or he just died?
No, he just died.
Shit.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy's a really good method.
He's so
like,
good.
He's so into this part.
It's like that wrestler who hit his head on the turnbuckle and died.
Would you want to...
People were yelling at him.
Would you
want to
die right at the end of the show? And that's the send-off? Or would you like to die maybe like in the middle of maybe a new bit? And people are like, where's this going to go? And then then you're out. People are like, how is he going to finish that?
I think I'd like it to be a callback. I think I'd like to set it up at some stage and then really call it back by actually dying then, then have that bit where people like for a while think it's brilliant
and some people are like
and then people are like, well, you should get up and
there's
a slow
slow kind of realization through the entire
like
audience.
One stagehand just is like, should I
just go.
Yeah,
he grabs a broom and he pokes me with the
handle. Somebody would poke you and then you wouldn't move. And then the rest of the audience would be like, oh, that's part of it as well. That's definitely an actor. And then and then eventually somebody else, they're an actor.
This is really good.
So, wow, he's spending a lot of money on. He's probably not making up a lot on these ticket sales, ultimately. And then you're done, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think that I would like that idea of like, you know, dying, you know, mid doing whatever. Yeah, what's that? That's the thing they say, right? He died doing what he loved.
Yeah
absolutely.
Having a heart attack.
Always loved it.
Yeah, that's right.
Ate burgers for breakfast every day. Right, always said butter was the most important meal of the day. Oh, loved heart attacks.
Three times a day. Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to finish this up in a little while, but not quite yet. Good. This is about the time I say that we're going to finish it up.
And, nice.
It'll take another 15 or 20 minutes to finish it up. But this is good. I like to at least prepare people.
I like the... Are you very strict on time?
No, I'm...
Well, it's an illusion of structure.
No, well, it's mostly because you guys have to get to the airport.
Okay, that's
true. We're at my house.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I literally have nothing to do for the rest of the night. No, I have no time restrictions or limitations. And this podcast has never, ever been the exact same length. So, no.
Well, I don't really want to get back on that plane, right. So if I could just live here, that would be good.
That'd be great, because my girlfriend is overseas at the moment, and I've like been minding the house. And look, to be honest, she was like, "Are you going to be okay at home by yourself?"
Uh-huh.
And I was a bit offended by that,
because
like I spend half of the year like on the road, by myself.
Mm.
But what she had identified was something that I had not actually considered, which was I've not really ever spent much time here.
Yeah,
by
right.
myself.
Uh-huh, sure.
Because normally she'll stay here, look after everything here, and I'll go away and do my thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've never been in charge here. So she's gone, sure, everything will be fine. Give me so many numbers. And I'm like, I'm a very competent functioning
I'm an adult man.
I mean, admittedly, she does see that I do an imaginary radio show in the back room of my house. So, you know, she has some evidence to the contrary. But she went away. Like, within the first week, I did my back and got arrested. Like, within the first week that she was away, that happened. So, anyway. The point of that story was that I would love if she came back at the end of her 5 weeks and you lived it. Like, I was like, how can this get weirder from here than it has? Oh, by the way, this is Mesa.
I'm just making an omelet on the... do you want some of this?
He lives in the spare room now.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's good to have around. He knows how Uber Eats works. He didn't like planes, so I let him move in. Everything's going to be fine. Mesa, I don't want to... Like, here's the thing. I've heard you on plenty of podcasts before.
Oh, sure, yeah. I've been roasted on the Little Dum Dum Club.
You have been. And it's one of those things where, like, you know when somebody has an interesting job like you do?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Everybody always wants to talk about it. And there was a part of me that was like, can we go this whole way without talking about it? But it turns out we can't.
No, I understand.
It's just too compelling.
There was...
it's too interesting.
There's been any number of, like, fraction of a second pauses where I'm like... panic. Does anybody want to know anything about trams? That's my life now. I'm not a small talker so much. So I'm just like, I'm glad I have a weird job. So I can
well,
just
it's
be
one
like...
of those things where I just think, I mean, often people talk to me about advertising and marketing
because
I do a TV show about it.
Uh-huh.
The truth of it is I have no interesting or particular knowledge about advertising and marketing.
Right, yeah.
Apart from
do
in
you
the
find
time...
it interesting and people are like, hey, well, what about this?
Or no.
You don't care at all.
God, no. Yeah. I'm like, no.
I guess because you get such an influx of it.
Yes.
You get like a condensed...
10 weeks a year, I think about all of it and then I don't need to think about it again.
Yeah.
The rest of the time. Ironically, it's when I'm working for the ABC that I have to watch ads. Right. All of the ads, as you know.
Yeah, all I know.
Well, I mean, I guess an intern has to watch 100 first, and then I watch the selection out of those. But still, my life's very busy. I'm the next Andrew Denton. So it's very busy. So, how long have you driven a tram?
About 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what originally got you into tram driving?
Well, a friend of ours actually is also a tram driver, and I'm like, if that idiot can do it, I can also do it. He's not an idiot. Is he all right?
No, he's all right.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And look, I was submitting my resume to a job agency, and it just said, hey, if you're submitting your resume, want to try one of these jobs? And the first one was tram driver, and I'm like,
you just stopped.
Right.
You didn't read the next one.
Yeah, I didn't read the other two. Yeah.
Don't even need to know.
Yeah.
The second one was podcaster.
Yeah, that's right. and then Uber Eats driver. Who knows? Yeah.
The thing that you love about it, though, I don't think I could handle it because you do the same path. And you to switch off and you cruise along and you're bloody loving it. You're alone with your thoughts.
Yeah.
I don't think I could handle that. I think it would do my head in.
Well, Lawrence Mooney, you know, he once told me, he said to me, you know, since you have a job that a monkey could do, does that give you a lot of time to think? And I'm like, absolutely it does. Yeah. Because he used to wash windows and that was his like... That you know, you had plenty of time to think there. So
I think there is, but there's a meditative quality.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, that's
like
right,
you know,
yeah.
It's like one of those. It feels to me like one of those sort of Zen gardens.
Yeah, like I'm, right, I'm pushing, yeah. I'm pushing little rocks around.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of sand on the tram, so I can just move
right,
that around.
Yeah, using that tram sand. Actually, you get back to the depot.
Yeah.
And there's some other tram drivers making one of those things that you know the Buddhists make, where they make it, and then they just completely wash it all away.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because that's
nothing's
the nature.
It's impermanent. Yeah.
Of being a tram driver.
Yeah. The timetable's impermanent. Who knows when it's going to get there? I don't know.
That being said, you have to be vigilant, don't you?
Oh yeah.
Like you can't like just shoot out, just kind of. You know, look out the window or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no, you're piloting something that is the weight of like 12 rhinoceroses.
Precisely,
right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Which is a very odd metric to judge.
You know a guy who tore someone's arm off with one.
That's a story I've told on Green Guide Letters,
okay,
I think.
Right,
but if you'd like to...
Here's what I would know. Okay, firstly, rhinoceros measuring. Here's what I would like to say.
Yeah.
It's like on grand final day, they'll do that sort of thing of going, you know, today they're going to sell this many hot dogs, which means that if you lay them end to end, they would reach to... And I was like, I reckon everyone can imagine what, like, 10,000 hot dogs are.
Right, yeah.
Like, that's a lot of hot dogs.
It's a lot. So,
but also with the tram, you're like, nothing's ever been, like, four rhinoceroses.
Exactly,
For me to get, like, an indication of, like... How much that is.
Yeah.
Like, to me, a rhinoceros is heavy.
Yeah. If they were native to Melbourne if they were native to Melbourne and they were always pushing cars off the road, you'd be like, imagine 20 of those. And you'd be like, that would be inconvenient.
Right.
But, like, what they should do is they should just get, like, again, 10,000 hot dogs and hit it with a tram.
Right.
Like, on video. And I think people would be like, oh, yeah, I should get out of the way of that because that would really hurt a lot.
I mean, actually, that would actually be a more practical example, right?
Yeah.
You just make a human. Out
of meat.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, just... and then you run a tram into it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That'd get passed around the internet and also make a point.
I think
100%
so.
100% it would.
Yeah.
With the leftover hot dogs. You do it the day after grand final.
That's right.
Whatever
hot
dogs they didn't sell.
No waste.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what is your hours of a day if you're piloting a tram?
Is
that what you call it? What do you got? Driving? Piloting?
I would say driving, but piloting sounds very, very, very luxurious. It depends on the way. So you can do like a week of early shifts, and then the next week you do a week of late shifts, and it sort of rotates around.
What's better, late or early?
I'm a late guy. Yeah. I'm not an early riser. In any
is that
stretch
for
of the
your
imagination.
Hours? Like, as in, like, late's better because you like to sleep in. Rather than, I don't care about you. I mean, I care about you.
yeah.
But for the purposes of this, I really want an indication on the rest
of
the
human beings. Oh, I understand.
Who
are
the better crowd?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
if I'm playing the early show and the late show,
which
show
totally.
Am I going to like go better at?
Yeah, the early show's better.
Okay.
Yeah. The early show are professionals.
Yeah.
They're on their way to work. They know what they're doing. Yeah. They know ticketing etiquette. They know ringing the bell etiquette. Yeah. They know that kind of thing. The late show, the middle of the day, people...
footy crowds as
if you're
well,
just wandering around in the middle of the day and you decide to get on a tram, where are you actually going? Nowhere. Yeah. And what happens is I feel the relative IQ drops like the further away you get from peak hour and it drop like it takes a massive dip like during sporting events.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And what's the capacity of a tram? This might be it. Is it just how many they can get in? Or is there
there's a rating, but like again, during footy events, like. Yeah.
Because that's my point. Like, I've been on trams during footy events.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels like that cannot possibly be the legally allowed amount of people.
No, but what happens is, because they're like, why don't you put on extra trams? And we do. But what happens is, you'll often see two trams back to back, like going down the street. And one of them's like full to the point where people can't move or breathe. And then the second tram's empty.
Because
what you do is you get to the stop and you've already got like 100 people on board. And you've got to drop one person off. Because somebody's rung the bell. And you're like, oh, this isn't going to go well for anyone. So I get on the PA and I go like, hey, everybody, the 100 people are on the platform. You're not going to be able to get into this.
Yep.
Please get the next one.
Literally,
like
there's one just
you can see it. You can see it.
You'll get a seat.
And you flip the doors open.
Yep.
And people just swarm it. Because it's like they swarm it like they're fleeing a zombie apocalypse. Like they're just, and you can't be like, no, stop it. No, no. You just have to let it. And you just have to sit there. And then, like, two people will still be there. And the next tram will get on. And they'll just, two people will get on. And they're like, oh, spacious.
Yeah.
It's great.
Do you drive, in the comedy festival, do you drive trams that have comedians' advertisements on them?
I've driven a tram with your face on it,
I guess. What I was getting to.
That's right, yeah. Mm.
So during the comedy festival, I got stuck out in St Kilda at something.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And normally I walk everywhere, so
yeah, right.
I probably don't do a lot of tram business in the city. I like to walk from place to place.
Uh-huh.
But I got stuck out there and I needed to get on a tram, but it was in a place, I was out like St Kilda Road,
uh-huh,
nowhere that I'm going to get like a whatever card I need. Mikey?
Yeah, right.
Mikey?
Yes, precisely, yes.
Okay, so I couldn't get a Mikey card, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And I was like, is that all you have now?
Yes,
like, this is like the world I live in. I was like, is there some other way to get on a tram? Mm.
No, you have to go.
You have to get a Mikey card.
You have
card,
to go
right?
to a location that sells one and
you
then,
can't get them
then
on
go
the
back
tram,
to where you live and then get on the tram. So,
you have to go back to where you live.
Yeah, it's required.
I mean,
the worst.
That feels like an unnecessary
step. Well,
How many percentage of the people who are on board the tram do you think actually pay for the tram? What if you had to guess?
They give a statistic sometimes, and I think they said the other day that 17% of people don't pay for tickets. But I'm like, how would you know that? Like, how do you...
I mean, it feels like the unquantifiable part of the equation, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
I can understand
right.
how you can tell me how many people are paying for tickets.
Yes. Right, because of the beep. Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah. Look, you can always tell when somebody doesn't pay for a ticket when they you get to a stop, you open the doors, they're right at the front door, and then they walk to the back door because they don't want to. Like, the shame has hit them, and they're right. like, they don't want me to go, tickets, play. I don't care. Just get on the tram. Stop wasting my time.
It's not your responsibility. You're not getting a cut of the door.
No, exactly. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's right. I'm
great.
Getting a cut of the bar,
but... I'm on a door deal now, you could play that, mate.
That's right. Yeah, well, now I want the footy gigs. That's, right. you know...
That actually would be a way to get the vigilance of people paying or not up, though, if you got a little cut.
That's right. Oh,
it's like 1 cent on every beep. About inspectors? When inspectors come on, is there do you get heads up, or is that a surprise to you as much?
No, that's
as it.
Well,
is
I mean, it's a,
else?
It's a surprise to me in as much as it can be a surprise because you're always you're approaching a stop and there's like four people who would never be friends,
right?
But they're in a group and they're all wearing like you know those cargo pants that zip off into slightly shorter pants. And like a fleecy, and they've all got a little satchel on them, you know. And I'm like, no. And I oftentimes I'll just because you can see them a mile away, and oftentimes I'll just approaching a stop, and I'm like 100 meters away, and I'll just wave at the, and I'm like, oh, they're supposed to be undercover inspectors, okay, I guess. But sometimes, occasionally, and I think they're wising up now because sometimes they'll like group all the cool guys together. They've got a whole bunch of young cool guys. So like I'll see like skinny chinos and like flannel shirts and cool, like the haircut with, you know, the shaved on the sides. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, like four of them. And I'm like, oh, where are these guys going? And they get on and start checking tickets. And I'm like, oh, it's learning. The system is learning.
I kind of like that too. That feels like a 21 Jump Street style.
Doesn't it though?
Squad.
That's right, yeah.
I feel like they're the renegade arm.
That's
of
right,
like
yeah.
Back at fucking HQ of ticket inspectors, there's one mob who have their own office.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And they don't play by the rules that everybody
that's
else
right.
plays by. But you know what? They're getting results. They're can't deny it.
Yeah. They're getting results. I mean, occasionally, you know, they have to take some time off to see like an Arcade Fire gig down the road. Or
yeah, just, yeah. We're going to Arcade Fire as well, but we're going to collect some tickets on
tickets
the way.
First,
we're
going
to give some tickets on the way. Incidents on the tram. Sorry, James, I understand this is a bit of a
No, because we don't talk about this.
Yeah, we tend not to.
Like, I'm more than happy.
Well, I imagine it's one of those things that you're like, well, he's my friend. I can't bring it up.
Well, that's right.
Exactly. You know, but it's like, okay, well, I can. I can ask at least.
I don't get as many lunatic. Like, the lines I operate are more civilized than a lot of other ones. So there's very few lunatics. Yesterday I got, if you've seen comedian Anne Edmonds, she'll do a lot of very, very loud, feral Bogan impression. And she'll bring it up to 11 and you're like, and it's just swearing and it's just the, you know, the all in fun, obviously, but like the worst aspects of humanity. And you're like, and sometimes you're like, she's gone a bit far there. Like I've never seen anyone act like that. But yesterday I saw someone act exactly like that. Like there was a woman at the stop and she had like an open suitcase, like, and clothes spilling out of it. And she was just hurling things at her boyfriend who was like 10 feet down the stop. And then she's like zipped up the case and she's still throwing like bits of like bottles and stuff at this dude. And they both get on the tram. And then it was just this like shouting match from one end of the tram to the other. And it was like, it's school holidays right now. So it was just the foulest language you can imagine just across all these kids who are off to see Disney on Ice or whatever. And just,
well, they've seen something on Ice, I imagine.
Yeah,
so I think they've seen an earlier performance on Ice as well.
And then, like, one of them jumps off the tram at a stop, and the second one jumps off a tram at the stop. And then the first one jumps back on the tram to avoid it, and he jumps back on the tram, so they're back on the tram, and they're back at it.
Oh, hang on. Well, now it's some old-school kind of spy movie
where people are
trying to avoid each other
at
train stations.
Yeah, they're just looking at each other from behind newspapers and stuff like that. And that was, like, three in a row, and then at one point, like, the woman gets off the tram with her bag and just bolts, and I'm like...
What age are we talking here?
It's tough to say sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
somewhere between 18 and 45. Yeah, who knows? Right.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. Yeah. Some people have lived some hard lives.
You know they have, yeah. That's
did it. You ever have an interesting, I mean, you did teaching, which is an interesting and noble profession.
Sometimes,
but did
yeah.
you have some, like, have you had a weird...
Because we taught in an Indigenous community for a year, we had the most insane things that could happen teaching. Like, I remember I had two kids, one in one hand, one in the other, and with scissors try to stab each other. Like, stuff like that. So, not funny, sure, but like...
I mean, yeah, okay, yeah, that took a dark turn.
Yeah,
your
it?
Stuff was much more fun.
Thanks,
to be honest.
Sorry.
Like,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure your story was also really dark, but the way you told it,
yeah.
it kind of felt like it was more fun and entertaining.
It was more like a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
I imagine if we really looked down on those two people's lives, they're probably going through a very bad time and we should laugh. But at least you caged it in a way we could ignore that rather than Dr. Downer over here.
They said funny words and they ran about. It was great.
Sorry, yeah, but it was just an insane year.
Couldn't have started with, one time two kids tried to stab each other. No. Let's really make this real, guys. With scissors, though. No stabbing with scissors.
No, that was worst case scenario, but because we lived in remote the Kimberleys, and the kids aren't the problem. It's a lot of crazy people and crazy principals move up there because you can hide. So our boss was a lunatic.
Yeah.
So every now and then he'd pull me into his office and be like, James, every morning I just feel like getting on the roof and jumping off and ending it all. And I'm like, do you have a question? Like, why am I in here? Because I've been
class.
Yeah,
can you do lunchtime? Can you be the monitor in the playground?
So if you could just make sure the kids are over the other side of the building.
Yeah, that's it.
Just that'd be...
Well,
that's the problem, right, though, isn't it? Because, when I was growing up, I lived next door to, well, not next door, but in our, like, where I'm from a tiny little place of 250 people.
Yeah.
And I caught the bus to the kids of this guy who ended up being one of Australia's greatest ever con men. He stole $300 million from the National Safety Council.
Jesus.
And it turns out he, like, had a false identity and he'd made up who he was. And he established his Australian identity because he'd fled from Germany, changed his identity because he'd involved in fraud over there.
Who
is
this guy?
And faked his own death. His name was John Friedrich. And,
or was it?
Well, it wasn't.
What?
It turns out it was Johann Henrik Hoffenberger or something.
Right, wow.
And he faked his own death in a skiing accident to avoid this fraud he'd done. And then he came over to Australia. But he built his career and got all these jobs out of originally going to Indigenous communities.
There's a lot
of
money
working
in
places
it.
Where you can establish a track record of working or whatever with no credentials.
Nobody checks up on anybody.
Right.
There's abuse rife. The principal we had who we kind of lodged a complaint against because he was pushing students and things like that. He got promoted.
Pushing them into further education.
No.
That's how he was pushing them.
He didn't actually...
He was pushing them to achieve their dreams, James.
He didn't care
this
about
this is the government's push scheme.
That's
actually, that's an acronym, mate. You meant to...
But because we were an hour and a half flight from the closest small town and you could only drive in 6 months of the year because the road was flooded.
Right.
So we were stuck and it was a dry community. So all of these things kind of added up. It was just this... I don't know, Claire could probably explain it better. It was just this kind of intense...
She's not here, though.
No, she's not here.
Well, she is here. This is the first time I think we've had an external observer to this podcast. I don't know if I've ever actually had her. She's been good. Very good, actually, I thought. Good.
Shh.
I mean, well, you know, she did it very nice. I think it must be hard to be an observer of other people doing this because essentially it's just there's four of us in a room and we're really ignoring
this one person's not allowed to talk
but also not really not a lot of laughs haven't really heard
right.
You know what I mean?
That's very true,
very much she isn't here. But there certainly hasn't been that thing of going, oh, Claire, that's the person we've been hearing laughing continuously in the background. No, that has not happened.
That you do,
very funny. I have to laugh silently.
Okay,
that is very good, isn't it, Will? At any kind
of... comedians love the silent laugh. if you could really keep it in.
A lot of smilers.
And also, if you're really enjoying yourself, if you can have a terrible, bad look on your face. Just if that's how you really
crossed
enjoy
arms
yourself.
Are good. Crossed arms are nice.
That always makes me feel good. That's it. I cross my arms on stage all the time. And
it's
body language in other people that I resent. But amount of time I spend on stage with my arms crossed.
Yeah, right.
You're the performer, though. You're allowed to do the...
No, I don't think you are. Well, I mean, you are, clearly.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
No one's come up to me and said, hey, have you not read the handbook, mate? Anyway, we should finish up.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
Sorry to end on a downer. That was...
I was about right, though, when I said 15 minutes.
You were.
23.
We this guy's good. To,
but he's a pro. I know what I'm doing, mate.
He's a professional.
Anyway, let's see if this has been recorded and makes it to the
end. Oh, yeah, terrific.
I would love to thank you both for being on the show.
Absolute pleasure.
Plug your podcast in particular so that people can listen
check
to it.
It's called The Weekly Planet. It's on the internet.
Every Monday. On iTunes and other platforms.
It's on Spotify.
It's on Spotify.
For some reason.
It's on movies and comics, and mostly movies and TV shows, but mostly movies.
Yeah, and if you like Tofop, particularly when we talk about comic book stuff, you are going to love this podcast. It is very funny. It is very, very funny.
Stop it. Stop saying how good we are.
Actually, this is one thing. I know we're running out of time, but I did want to mention this because this came up in an episode I was listening to recently, which was about the liking the idea of The Purge, but not necessarily the movie The Purge.
Right, yeah.
And then there was a conversation of going, I have so many more questions about The Purge, like the actual mechanics of The Purge.
Right.
And then you're like, well, we won't get bogged down in that. Let's move on. And I was like, no. Get bogged down in that. Because me as well. I want to know more about, I don't care about, don't fucking do it on Purge night. Just have another day where someone just explains to me how exactly The Purge works.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just want to know because I know the premise. Like one time, like one day a year, for you can just do whatever you want to do.
Hit each other with axes. Yeah.
But I want to know about show me the day after The Purge.
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's the movie I want to see. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like the movie the day after the fucked up.
Like the guy that murdered your family, you have to live next door for the year.
And he's like, no, it's cool. It's The Purge, right?
It's The Purge.
Yeah, right.
You can't even bring it up.
This is America.
Because that's the other thing. Can you still be? That was the thing I was fascinated by. It's like, if you work with a guy who like purged your wife or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But like, you're like, but the idea is like that it's not against the rules on that day.
Mm. Yeah.
So can you still be like, giving him shit at work or whatever.
That's a good point,
No.
Is there like harassment? Right. Like, is that okay?
Is it what happens on the purge day stays on the purge day?
I guess that's the rule.
You can't say anything.
But for me, if somebody murdered my wife.
No passive aggression either. Yeah. There's no, what if at workplaces there's just like post-it notes on the fridge? Why'd you kill my wife?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Also,
why'd you eat my sandwich? Come on, I had my name on it.
Is that what you do on The Purge?
That's what I do on other people's
sandwiches. Go through the fridge, eat everybody else's sandwiches. Yeah. I imagine it'd become, did you ever watch Friends?
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be one of those sort of Ross and Rachel situations, I imagine, where people would be like, it was on The Purge. I did it on The Purge.
But The Purge wouldn't stop me. Like, if somebody murdered my family, the next day, I'm going over.
No,
like,
you've got
nothing left.
They throw you in jail, mate.
Yeah, but who cares?
And then you're done. Then you'd be purged.
Yeah.
So say it's not murdering your family. Because I understand, that's going to have repercussions. Mm. Right. But say, for example, because isn't the idea of The Purge, you don't have to murder.
No.
It's just for 24 hours you can do whatever it is that you want to do.
Yeah.
Or however many hours it is, 12 hours.
Drink a liter of heroin.
But you can, right? But you can.
Yeah.
You can't get in trouble for whatever it is you do. So there'd be a series of other petty crimes that people had always wanted to do just you could do on that day. So you don't have to be a murderer to enjoy The Purge. There'd probably be some good neighborhoods where they kept the murderers out and people just got to do fun purging things.
Yeah.
Like Halloween.
There could be there's a Lion King 2.5, I think it's called, where Timon and Pumbaa go off and have their own adventure during the Lion King. So it'd be that. It'd just be Lil Purging. Just people, shoplifting and...
Yeah, just taking stuff from shops or just parking in the wrong spot.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, whatever. It's Purge Day.
2-hour parking. I've been here for 3 hours. This is the Purge, baby.
Purge rules, baby.
But then people ruin it with pig masks and kill on their head. Ruining everyone's fun.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with anything, though, right?
Yep. Yeah.
This is the problem.
Mm.
Like, The Purge is all fun and games until somebody rocks up with a pig mask and kill on his head and then ruins the fun.
Come on, guys. We're all having a laugh.
This is why we can't have good stuff, guys.
That's right, exactly. The 1%. Yeah.
All right, we should finish up. Thank you so much for being on the
podcast.
What a
pleasure. It's been great.
Really appreciate it. Yeah. All right. I don't know. I normally do plugs. I certainly do not do edits or put anything else in. So if I have anything else to say, I should say it now, which is I have a regular podcast. It's called Tofop with my friend Charlie Clawson. And we are going to the LA Podcast Festival.
Very nice.
And it's going to be a brilliant big show. Dave Anthony, Gareth Reynolds, Matt Kirshen, Jackie Cation,
very nice.
Laura House, anyway, Graham Elwood. Anyway, awesome. It's going to be a huge, huge show. That's going to be really brilliant if you're in that part of the world. And we have a Patreon and all those sort of things. And I'm on tour, Montreal Just for Last Festival, doing my show Critically Will. So if you enjoyed this and you happen to live near or in Montreal, I'm doing 6 shows of that in about 2 or 3 weeks from now. So, all right, well, that might not be true. I don't know when this is going up. That's a good point. Those shows might have already happened. Work it out yourself, guys. All right. Thanks very much. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.